This morning I'd like to give you a very special message of encouragement, especially for those who feel left out or forgotten, and I think a message for 2015 to encourage us all to love our neighbors as ourselves. We never know really what someone else is going through at any given time. And so I think it's important for us to understand that God's love for us is something that when we really internalize it and feel it, we can transfer that love to others. I'm going to be using a variety of scriptures this morning, but the main scripture that I'd like to talk to you about is Psalm 142, verses 1 through 5. With my voice I cry out to the Lord. With my voice I plead for mercy to the Lord. I pour out my complaint before Him. I tell my trouble before Him. When my spirit faints within me, You know my way. In the path where I walk, they have hidden a trap for me. Look to the right and see there is none who takes notice of me. No refuge remains to me. No one cares for my soul. I cry out to You, O Lord. I say, You are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. The sermon this morning is going to be in a very unusual format. And so what I'd like for you to do for a moment is close your Bibles. And I'd like you to just relax and be comfortable, because I'm going to require that you use a little imagination, because I'm going to read you a story. And I really thank Gary. The first song that he did this morning, Lion of Judah, spoke a lot about lambs. And this will be logistically tough on this story because of trying to read and run the clicker. But this story is called The Crippled Lamb, and it's a story by Max Lucado, and I'll share with you, there were many, many years at Christmas time I would read this story and to the people I was ministering, that Joy and I were ministering to. But the first 3 or 4 years that I did this, I could never get through the story without choking up and sometimes crying almost uncontrollably. So I'm warning you ahead of time. Okay? I hope that this will go and with good continuity, but if I get a little choked up, you'll understand. Once upon a time in a sunny valley, there lived a little lamb named Joshua. He was white with black spots, black feet, and sad eyes. Josh felt sad when he saw the other lambs with their snow-white wool and no spots. He felt sad when he saw the other sheep with their moms and dads, because he didn't have a mom or dad. But he felt saddest when he saw the other lambs running and jumping because he couldn't. Joshua had been born with one leg that didn't work right. He was crippled. He always limped when he walked. That's why he always watched while the other lambs ran and played. Josh felt sad and alone, except when Abigail was around. Abigail was Josh's best friend. Now, she didn't look like a friend for a lamb. She was an old cow. She was brown with white blotches that looked like rain puddles on a path. Her belly was as round as a barrel, and her voice was always kind and friendly. Some of Josh's favorite hours were spent with Abigail. They loved to pretend they were on adventures in different lands. Josh liked to listen to Abigail tell stories about the stars. They would lay out in the moonlight and look at the sky, the night sky. And they would spend hours on the hill looking into the valley. They were good friends. But even with a friend like Abigail, Josh still got sad. It made him sad to be the only lamb who couldn't run and jump and play in the grass. That's when Abigail would turn to him and say, "Don't be sad, little Joshua. God has a very special place for those who feel left out." Josh wanted to believe her, but it was hard. Some days he just felt alone. He really felt alone the day the shepherds decided to take the lambs to the next valley where there was more grass. The sheep had been in this valley so long that the ground was nearly bare. And all the sheep were excited when the shepherd told them they were going to a new meadow. As they prepared to leave, Josh hobbled over and took his place on the edge of the group. But the other lambs started laughing at him. They said, "You're too slow to go all the way to the next valley. Go back, slowpoke. We'll never get there if we have to wait on you. Go back, Joshua." That's when Josh looked up and saw the shepherd standing in front of him. "They're right, my little Joshua. You'd better go back. This trip is too long for you. Go and spend the night in the stable." Josh looked at the man for a long time, and then he turned slowly and he began limping away. When Josh got to the top of the hill, he looked down and he saw all the other sheep were headed toward the new pasture full of green grass. Never before had he felt so left out. A big tear slipped out of his eye and rolled down his nose and fell on a rock. And just then, he heard Abigail behind him. And Abigail said what she always said when Josh felt sad. "Don't be sad, little Joshua. God has a special place for those who feel left out." Slowly, the two friends turned and they walked to the stable together. And by the time they got to the little barn, the sun was setting like a big orange ball. Josh and Abigail went inside and began to eat some hay out of the feed box. They were hungry and the hay tasted good. For a little while, Joshua forgot that he had been left behind. "Go to sleep, little friend," Abigail said after they finished eating. "You've had a hard day." Josh was tired. So he lay down in the corner on some straw and he closed his eyes. And he felt Abigail lay down beside him. And he was glad to have Abigail as a friend. Soon Josh was asleep. At first he slept soundly, curled up against Abigail's warm back. And in his sleep he dreamed. He dreamed of running and jumping like all the other sheep. He dreamed of long walks with Abigail through the valley. He dreamed of being in a place where he never felt left out. Suddenly, strange noises woke him up. "Abigail," he whispered, "wake up, wake up. I'm scared." Abigail lifted her big head and looked around. The stable was dark except for a small lamp hanging on the wall. "Somebody's in here," Josh whispered. They looked across the dimly lighted stable, and there lying on some fresh hay in the feed box was a baby. A young woman was resting on a big pile of hay beside the feed box. Joshua looked at Abigail, thinking his friend could tell him what was going on. But Abigail was just as surprised as Joshua. Josh looked again at the woman and the child and then limped across the stable. He stopped next to the mother and looked into the baby's face. The baby was crying. He was cold. The woman pulled up the baby and put him on the hay next to her. Josh looked around the stable for something to keep this baby warm. Usually there was blankets, but not tonight. The shepherds had taken them on their trip across the valley. Then Josh remembered his own soft, warm wool, and timidly he walked over and curled up close to this baby. "Thank you, little lamb," the baby's mother said softly. Soon the child stopped crying and went back to sleep. About that time, a man entered the stable carrying some rags. "I'm sorry, Mary," he explained. "This is all the cover I could find." "It's okay," she answered. "This little lamb has kept the new king warm." A king? Joshua looked at the baby and wondered who he might be. "His name is Jesus," Mary spoke as if she knew Joshua's question. "God's son. He came from heaven to teach us about God." Just then, there was another noise at the door. And it was the shepherds, the one who had left Joshua behind. Their eyes were big and they were excited. "We saw a bright light and we heard the angels," they began. Then they saw Joshua next to the baby. "Joshua, do you know who this baby is?" "He does now." It was the young mother who was speaking. She looked at Joshua and smiled. And she said, "God has heard your prayers, little lamb. This baby is the answer." Joshua looked down at the baby and somehow he knew that this was a very special child and this was a very special moment. He also understood why he had been born with a crippled leg. Had he been like the other sheep, able to run and play, he would have been in the valley. But since he was different, he was in the stable, among the first to welcome Jesus into the world. He turned and walked back to Abigail and took his place beside his friend. "You were right," he told her. "God does have a very special place for me." Jesus came to this earth as a baby. He came humbly, laying in a manger wrapped in swaddling cloths. But that, as Jeff said in his message the other day, was just the beginning. I believe we have times in our lives when we, as little Joshua, feel quite different. We feel left out, we feel alone, we feel abandoned. And just as Abigail conveyed to Joshua a lesson that is true for every one of us, don't be sad. God has a special place for those who feel left out. You see, God has a message of hope for all of us. That hope came in the form of a baby who's destined to be on the cross. And that story had an overarching theme about feeling left out or abandoned and God's mercy and grace. But that story also talked a little bit about the fact that God will not abandon us. In Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 18, it says, "He defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow and loves the alien, giving him food and clothing." You see, each of us is a child of God. We were created by God. And by being created by Him, we were secured in Him. We accepted and were accepted and we valued by God. Of all the creation, who did He breathe, or is it correct to say whom, did He actually give His personal breath to? Man. We have direct access to God's throne of grace, and nothing can separate us from the love of God. God will never abandon us. In John 1, verse 12, it says, "But to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God." And Romans 8, 38 and 39 says, "For I am sure that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor heights nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." God has not abandoned you. In times of trouble, persecution, distress, I think God's closer than we could ever imagine. There are times in our lives, and I know probably everyone in here has experienced it, when we say, "God, where are you?" I'll share with you, when my wife's son was killed in a plane crash, she stood at a window and said that very thing, "God, where were you?" And the answer that came to her through the Spirit was, "I was in the same place as I was when my son died." Philippians 1:6 says, "And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." There's nothing, nothing we can do that would cause God to abandon us. He has a plan for each of our lives. Which brings us to a point that we should be encouraged then not to abandon doing good. God's work when we feel forgotten or when things get rough. Galatians 6:9-10 says, "And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." So then we have the opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. There are times that, and we spoke about this in the men's group today, when God whispers in our ear, feed that person, clothe them, call them, give a listening ear. And if we are obedient, we listen to those commands. We had all felt the same thing. There's been times when we have heard that voice and said, "Well, God, I've got another project right now. I'll get to it later." And then we forget. Don't abandon God or your faith in times of trouble. I went through some difficulties last year. But there was not one time, thank you, Lord, that I felt abandoned. What I felt was, "Lord, if you choose to bring me through this, hallelujah. And if you choose to take me home, hallelujah." Well, that almost would be a double hallelujah, wouldn't it? Because we get away from the pain and the crying and the suffering. But we all go through these times. We live in a fallen world. And because of sin, even the creation groans and waxes old like a garment. So we're going to have trouble. In fact, that's something we can count on. But God brings all things for good for those who are in Christ Jesus. John 16:1 says, "I have told you these things so that you will not abandon your faith." Now, I really like the wording of this particular scripture in the Message. In the Message it says, "I have told you these things to prepare you for rough times ahead. They're going to throw you out of the meeting places. There will even come a time when anyone who kills you will think he's doing God a favor. They will do these things because they never really understood the Father. I've told you these things so that when the time comes and they start in on you, you'll be well warned and ready for them. But you know, I think that brings us to a point where we have to remember about God's care. Does God care for us part of the time, some of the time, or all of the time? David, a man after God's own heart, went through many troubles. But I'd like to read you what he wrote during one of those troubles. And I don't think you'll need your Bible or the scripture on the screen for this one. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That particular psalm, I read in the King James Version because I like the way it's written. But that psalm was in a time of great distress for David. And yet, the confidence of his heart poured out as he blessed God for all the blessings God was for him. Which makes us think that God really wants us to abandon ourselves to him, even in times of trouble, even when health is crushing in on us or finances are non-existent. In fact, in those times, it's even more important that we turn to him because he is our rock and our foundation. I'd like to tell you a story about a man. His name was Charles de Foucauld. He was born in Strasbourg, France on September 15th, 1858. He was orphaned at the age of 6. He and his sister Marie were raised by their grandfather, in whose footsteps he followed by taking up a military career. Feeling left out and abandoned, he lost his faith as an adolescent. His taste for easy living was known to all, and he showed that he could be strong-willed and constant in difficult situations. He undertook a risky exploration of Morocco from 1883 to 1884, and seeing the way the Muslims expressed their faith made him question, and he began repeating to himself, "My God, if you exist, let me come to know you." On his return to France, the warm, respectful welcome he received started to make him think about his Christian heritage and his training as a child. It made him intensify his search. Under the guidance of an Anglican friar, Eugene Huvelin, he rediscovered God in October of 1886. He was then 28 years old. "As soon as I believed in God, I understood that I could not do otherwise than to live for Him alone." He made a pilgrimage to the Holy Land, and it revealed to him what his vocation, what God wanted him to be, the path he was to take. God wanted him to follow Jesus in his life. So he looked at the life Jesus had spent in Nazareth, and he spent 7 years as a Trappist monk, first in France and then Acabes in Syria. And later he began to live this life of prayer and adoration alone near a convent called Poor Clares in Nazareth. He was then ordained as a priest at 43 in 1901 and immediately left for the Sahara. First he lived in Beni Abbas and later in Tamasaret among a group called the Tuaregs. He wanted to be among those people who he thought were the furthest removed and most forgotten and most abandoned people on the planet. He wanted all who drew close to him to find in him a brother, a universal brother, a brother who had great respect for their culture and faith, but that would show them the love of Christ and that would share the gospel with them, even if it meant only letting it shout out from how he lived. He stated, "I would like to be sufficiently good that people will say, if such is the servant, what must the master be like?" On the evening of December 1st, 1916, he was killed by a band of marauders who had encircled his house. He had always dreamed of sharing his vocation with others. And he wrote several books, so small booklets about the rules for religious life. And in those books, there was a conclusion that the life of Jesus Christ of Nazareth could be led by anyone who chose to. You see, when you feel like little Joshua, when you feel like you've been left out or abandoned, remember that Jesus came in a manger as a baby, as a humble beginning. But the next time Jesus comes, it will be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we will be with him. Does God abandon us? No. In our time of deepest need, he is the one who sticks closer than a friend, closer than a brother. Did he abandon us when we were basically perishing in sin? No. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." Gary, does your team have a closing song? They do. I'd like the praise and worship team to come up, and then I'd like to share a very special closing prayer with you.